You're listening to Waveform, a show about music, discovery, and the technology that ties it all together in new and powerful ways. This program is brought to you by Wavelake, the easiest way to distribute and stream music using Bitcoin. Listen today at wavelake.com.
I know what happened. Hold on. I have a DAW open.
Oh, okay.
Is that better
quality
now?
Check. Yeah.
You can hear me okay. That might have been what was messing up the audio earlier. I had Ableton.
Oh, yeah, maybe. It's possible. It's possible. Hi.
Hello, everyone.
We're here.
We're doing a show, I hear.
200. What episode is this?
14? 15?
14. Wait. Yeah, 14, because, yeah, it is 14. Glad we got that settled.
Episode X, in which Sam and Michael learn to count.
Just a little heads up, this is going to be very exciting if this happens during the show. I am expecting a shipment, and it is a Fender Stratocaster. So at any point in time, someone hears some ringing or something happening, that is hopefully UPS at my door, and I will have to pause. Although we will edit it, so it'll be a seamless transition for the listener. But for you personally, you might have to wait a couple minutes while I run downstairs and grab this thing, because I'm very excited.
I have no problem.
It was supposed to be here already, so now I'm stressing out.
What's the like model? Is it like a branded model?
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. So my friend turned me on to this Jeff Beck Stratocaster that was made in the 90s and the early 2000s. And it's sort of it was his first signature guitar. Now it exists out in the world, but this very specific model was his first signature model after they made the Strat Plus. They made the Strat Plus for him. And then eventually they were like, hey dude, we got to put your signature on this thing and sell some more of these. So they come in three colors and they're all pretty ugly. It's like a purple, midnight purple, seafoam green, which isn't horrible. That's what this one is. And then there's a white, which, you know, kind of has that yellow. I forget what it's called. It's not like a bright white. It's like a
cream.
Yeah, it's sort of like a cigarette stained white, you know. And, you know, it's just kind of cheesy. It's like sort of Jeff Beck's kind of cheesy. I don't know how you feel about Jeff Beck, but
I haven't listened to much. I've heard about like a Jeff shredder Beck guy like my whole life, but I don't think I've ever listened to anything.
Yeah, him. So I mean, I like Strats, but I've just never. You know, I don't know this. My friend has a purple one of these things. I actually had been borrowing it. I think I showed you. Yeah,
you
a couple
did
weeks ago.
On a call.
Yeah, so I finally found a good deal. I'm in New York now, and it was in New York, not in New York City, but it was, you know, very close. So the guy dropped the price on it. I was like, all right, I'm just gonna pull the trigger on this thing. I need one of these dorky guitars. They sound amazing. They're just like kind of dorky looking, but they sound great. So I'm gonna put stickers all over it and call it a day. Maybe get a new pick guard. I don't like a white pick guard, really.
Why not? Oh, just the color?
You know, I'm more of a tortoise shell.
That sounds fun, though.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if it shows up.
I've been dropping by the Chicago Music Exchange, the Guitar Exchange, like once a week for the last couple of weeks, just looking at, kind of browsing at some of the Telecasters out there. I've been bringing my kids, too, which is kind of fun.
That's such a great story.
It's always... It's funny to me, like, how much some of the classic, like, sort of flashy guitars just never lose their appeal. So, like, there's, like, the Flying Vs, you know, there's, like, the double-necked guitars. Those are the ones that the kids are drawn to. They're like, holy cow, that thing's got two necks on it.
I was just talking to somebody about the... I didn't have it. I borrowed a Flying V from one of my uncles for a while, and I think it was maybe... very possible it was like a homemade guitar because it weighed 1,000 pounds and it didn't have any markings on it. I think
it's made of oak.
It was either like severely bootlegged or someone had just made this thing from like a piece of tree in their backyard or something. But it was fun to play it though.
Yeah. I'm very tempted to get it.
I just pulled up the Chicago Music Exchange site to see what they got because I might
the store is awesome.
Might need you to pick me up something. I'm just kidding. I do got to get out there. I want to go. I haven't been to that store in so long. And there's the Chicago electric piano store.
Oh yeah.
Which I don't know if it's a store, if you have to go in by appointment. I've never been in there personally, but I'm sort of psychotically.
I think you've told
them.
Me about this one. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Music stores are fun. All right. Let's get to some business.
We got business.
We have some mail. We have some mail, listener mail. Do we want to, maybe we can start with that today.
Okay. So I'll throw up the theme. Here goes.
Give it a boost. Give it a boost. Have you got any messages?
You've got the boost.
I've heard of audience participation shows, but this is ridiculous.
There you go.
All right. So we got a bunch of messages over the last couple of weeks. This one's from Ryan Zach. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for listening. He writes, "The advertising idea is brilliant. Been thinking about how to best do that for a while. Great tool to onboard fans and get new users. Their first ever sats. Excited to try it out."
Yeah, so that's, we talked about that last week. Thought it might be out by now. It's not. Just a heads up.
Yeah, we're still putting.
If you're looking for that listen to earn feature, that we're currently calling it a top up. That was our brilliant marketing term that we came up with. It was top up. So if you want to top up your wallet, you go listen to this playlist of tracks and you'll get paid for it. But
yeah, featured songs or promoted songs.
Promoted songs say. To top up your wallet too. We're doing a little beta test of this soon. Hopefully soon. What do you think? Mm-hmm. How are we looking? Next week,
sorry,
maybe?
You caught me mid-sip of my coffee.
You were talking to Josh. Josh was working hard on some of the
Yeah,
issues.
I mean, there are a lot of like UI things we have to think through, because it can be confusing to a listener when they're earning and how much they're earning. And, you know, like these promoted tracks aren't meant to be like infinitely earnable.
Right.
Like the idea is you can earn once a day some amount for listening to that track that day. And then if you want to earn more, you got to either listen to another track or
come back
wait until the next day. And then there's, you know, we don't want artists to have to like infinitely fund these either. So the idea is like there's a finite amount of sats set for this promotion. And then once that's depleted, then the track, the promotion ends. So there's a lot of like UI detail we need to work out just to make sure like that's clear for people.
Yeah.
The way it works. And then there's a bunch of, you know, sort of mechanics on how we'll, you know, one, reward people for listening, but then also we need to mitigate any type of gaming, scamming, hacking, whatever, as best as we can.
Yeah. But we're getting close.
Yeah, we're getting close. I'm excited about this one. The idea is like, hey, let's just get first time users of any of this technology a really easy entry point.
Yeah, because that's obviously a hard thing. It's like you finally convince someone to try out Wavelake, and then
it's like, wait.
Then you got to get them a wallet. It's like, yeah.
So, how does Bitcoin work?
And I think we've said it before, but we're obviously going to be able to generate wallets easier too.
Yeah.
So when this rolls out, you'll be able to just create a wallet in the app instead of having to.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it too. We're just trying to make the whole onboarding process a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
All right. We got another message. This is from an anonymous listener.
Oh.
This person writes, "I agree with using, quote, credits instead of bringing Bitcoin into the conversation right away. It scares off some people. Let them see how easy it is to use, then tell them."
Yeah, a little bait and switch. I know you don't like Bitcoin, but you've been using it for the last few months, so you do.
I mean, it shouldn't be, we shouldn't call it a bait and switch. It should be more
it's a bit
of
a bait and switch. You got, you know.
But, well, here's the thing. Here's the problem. Where we are at now with Bitcoin, and like, I don't care how much you love it, the fact of the matter is, for many people, I would say most people around the world, Bitcoin has a stink to it. And the reason what we have to do these sort of like underhanded or subtle bait and switches, so to speak, is because a lot of people, when they hear the word Bitcoin, they are immediately either like turned off by it, or they think it's a scam, or they lose interest right away.
Right.
That's a problem.
Oh, it's a big problem.
I don't know if it's a problem that people are willing to acknowledge, but like
I think so.
A fact.
I think people acknowledge it. I think most people just don't care. You know, they just think that's what part of the problem is people acknowledge it, but they just think like, oh, eventually they'll come around. You know, people discover Bitcoin when they, at the price they deserve, yeah, or whatever the sort of terminology.
All those memes.
All those types of things. But, you know, we were talking a little bit about this yesterday. It's, you know, like there's certain thing, other things, like we were talking, I think, about AI. You're like, everything's AI buzzwords, blah, 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 you know, kind of.
Well, I was just saying AI buzzwords. Like, I'm immediately turned off by AI.
AI has a stink on it for you personally because it's so buzzwordy. But
yes,
you also at the same time acknowledge that there's lots of great utility in that, in the future of that. Obviously, it's going to make things easier, just like computers and phones and everything else we have has made our lives easier and also more difficult in many ways. But it's the utility of AI is what's going to be cool. It's not the like buzzy marketing shit. You know, it's just,
of course,
it's the utility. And that's what we need to do, is just show people. That's the big, that's the big Roy Brees article. It's time to start showing people the utility of Bitcoin instead of trying to, you know, preach this doctrine to them that they have to bow down to Satoshi and to be orange pilled, you know, and take the orange pill. It's like, we just have to show them that it's a cool technology that works. And so,
yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking in terms of like, you know, it doesn't have to be a bait and switch. It can just be like, lead with utility, lead with the usefulness.
Yeah, exactly. But I think you still have to be transparent to be like about secret. What it is, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, we've definitely made a very conscious effort to not like throw Bitcoin logos everywhere and have everything like, we're not called like, you know, I can't even think of some Bit Music or something, you know, we have no marketing affiliation.
No Bitcoin branding. Yeah. There's no like, there's not a lot of Bitcoin branding around the things we do.
That is
intentional.
Yeah. We like the utility of this money is really cool, and we want to use it. We want to show people that it can, you know, be a more equitable system, and all the stuff that comes with that is great. But like, those things will come, you know, like people are right to some extent. It's like, eventually, yes, people will come around, but we have to show, we can't just,
it's not going to happen by itself.
Yeah. It's not going to happen by itself. Like, it's going to just keep growing. And I mean, things are happening, but it's like what I've been sort of, you know, old man screaming at the wall or whatever for the last several months now has just been like, guys, it's time. Like, we have all these things. We need to start doing some stress tests here and get this out in the real world.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know there's people doing that, of course, but I just think we need to push a little harder.
I think like the interesting thing is, you know, I think there are a lot of people that are trying to make Bitcoin more of a utility, like more of an actual money that people use to buy things or to get paid for things. But I think a lot of those examples that I've seen, like where you buy a good from a merchant, or, you know, you decide to get paid in Bitcoin as opposed to dollars or whatever. That's all great. And it shows that Bitcoin can work on a very fundamental level as just like a payment tool. But like in all those examples I've listed, all of that is still possible with regular money. Like, those are just regular applications of money that Bitcoin also happens to fit into, which is great. Again, it works as most regular money does, which is like a basic requirement for money right now. The thing that I think isn't happening enough is novel uses of Bitcoin in ways that normal money cannot be used today. So this is one of the things that we are trying to do with Wavelake, where we are trying to open up the way that artists can distribute their music, but also get paid. And the way that they can get paid is not possible using the standard credit card network, the standard banking network, cash. Like, this is very, the way that we've built Wavelake is very specific to the way Lightning works. And what I would love to see is just more sort of examples of people using the technology in ways that is not possible using existing technology.
Yeah. Agree.
But first we have to call it, we're going to have to call it like music points. Hey, you're getting these music points.
Well, that's the thing is you can't, I mean, you know.
And then if, surprise.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing is like you can, anybody can move, any app can move numbers around in a database. And so that's the thing is like you have to be actually showing the utility of the transfer other than, because I mean, we could just create Wavelake, move numbers around back and forth and call them credits, you know, over the internet without it actually being money. And just do that and then let someone cash out somehow, settle on their traditional, you know, banking rails or credit or debit card or whatever, you know, however, or PayPal or Venmo or whatever. But the difference here is that like people are, when this money comes in, it's going directly to, you know, wallets and wallets that people have created on Wavelake if they don't have one, but also immediately forwarding to wallets that exist elsewhere, which that's kind of the magic. And, as that technology advances, that obviously will get better and easier when people can just have fully, you know, non-custodial wallets on their phone that can be generated in no time.
This is another challenge right now is like the way on-chain Bitcoin works is you don't need to run a node. You just need to like keep a seed phrase and you can transact with the network whenever you want without having to like maintain infrastructure.
Yeah, it's a little tougher with Lightning right now.
Is very different.
Yeah, because I mean, especially like I'm in New York and, you know, like we did the Noster Village out here and the whole point of that thing was supposed to be sort of showing, it was for new people. Like they had a lot of people that come to their Bitcoin meetups at PubKey. And so it's like, hey, let's figure out how to walk through this Noster stuff for the Bitcoin crew out here. But there's no, you know, you sort of need Lightning to talk about Zaps because that's really the different thing. It's like, that's one of the different things you can create. You can have content and you can zap the creators of that content, but can't do it in New York unless you do run a node or you do have, you know, some other, you certainly can't do it in any kind of regulated way because New York has sort of blocked all of that stuff. And
yeah. Do you get any sense that that's going to change in the near future?
I would imagine so. I mean, I think I haven't looked into that, the BitLicense and stuff in a really long time, but
yeah,
of created, you know, it was put in place to sort of monopolize that position of being,
a regulated.
I think it's Gemini sort of put that together. Yeah. So in Coinbase maybe. So I think it's just, you know, a company or two trying to monopolize that situation. But
yeah,
I would suspect that, yeah, at a certain point, I mean, without that in place or without that type of regulation, companies would be more free. Like Cash App, I know, has a problem. I think it's just too expensive to do it. And there's not enough, you know, it's like sort of comparing it to certain features we want to put in Wavelake. It's like, yeah, that would be really great, but we don't have enough users to sort of justify that. And I think that's probably what it is with a lot of these companies. Like we could get a BitLicense probably, but there's not enough people using Lightning in New York to justify doing that, sort of like a cost analysis probably. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
That's been around for a while, right? That's been around for, I don't know, like 7 years or something. It's been around
longer than that. Yeah, I mean, maybe it was around 2017, 16 or 17. I can't remember.
Yeah,
somebody. I'm just thinking. Check that for us.
Yeah, I'm just thinking with like PubKey they're just, I mean, there's obviously a really like vibrant, healthy, like, you know, Bitcoin advocacy coalition in New York. And so I don't know. I haven't been keeping tabs on like whether there's any even like progress on changing that or.
Yeah, it was introduced in 2014 and went through in 2015.
Oh, geez, it's been about
10 years. Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, so going back real quickly though to this topic of like, you know, how do you present something like Wavelake or this whole, you know, pay what you want, whenever you want, however much you want ecosystem, for artists, you know, some artists are just going to be more receptive to the idea than others. I think that's another thing that you just have to accept. Like there's no, it's going to be hard to convince someone that this is worthwhile if they already have a bunch of like hardened preconceived notions about what that thing is. Like, I don't want anything to do with that because I think XYZ, like it's kind of not worth wasting the energy to try and like evangelize to those people. You have to, pick your battles.
It's the same issue everybody has everywhere in the space. It's like people come to Nostr and they just see a bunch of people talking about Bitcoin. And so they get kind of
turned Nostr.
Off. Yeah. And Nostr. So it's kind of the same. I mean, you go to Wavelake sometimes and you see a lot of Bitcoin songs, you know, because yeah. It makes sense, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of excitement around people that are in this space. And so they're going to be writing songs about what they're getting excited about. So it makes sense that that stuff is there. But I think to a normal person coming in, it's going to feel and does typically feel sort of cultish at times. So
yeah,
just difficult to sort of navigate around that. So you have to understand the importance of the early adopters and the community that exists, but also you need to try to appeal to a wider audience and show people that there's a wide, I mean, you know, there's almost 10,000 songs on Wavelake right now, and most of them are not about Bitcoin, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of really, really good stuff on there. So just want to make sure that that stuff is discoverable, because that's a big problem. You know, that's something that comes up a lot is I wish I could search by genre or, you know, whatever, which you can do on the app, but it's a good time to remind everybody. We need some bumper music for the biweekly reminder that Wavelake has an app. If you don't know, Wavelake has an app.
I would guess people who listen to this podcast know this.
I don't know.
But am I wrong?
Yeah, you might be. You might be wrong.
I hope not.
I don't know. If you don't know that we have an app, go to app.wavelake.com. It is still in beta. So if you're an iOS user, you have to use Test Flight. If you're an Android person, you can get it through Google Play, however that works. Or you can go to our GitHub and download the dorky link APK. Thing. Yeah.
What'd you call it? The dorky link?
The dork thing? Link? I don't know. What? What's it called? But yeah, it's there. It's cool. And that's where most of the development has been for the last several months. Since November of last year, we spent most of player development on the mobile side and less so on the desktop stuff on the website. So, you know, if you're looking for genres, if you're looking for better search, you're going to want to use that app. And it's just,
I'll mention real quick, you know, we released that developer splits last week. Sam Samsky's, shout out Sam Samsky's. He's got this great Wavelake party playlist site that, he's been like feverishly developing, and earning off of, I should add. So like any developer that uses the API, earns a share of the, any of the sats that are sent to the artists. Artists still keep 90%, just to be clear.
Yeah.
We share half of our earnings with the developers, but there is a search endpoint. That's what I wanted to mention. There is a search endpoint in that API. So anyone could create something that's searchable. We just need to add it to the site. I mean, this is the thing, is like, we have, there's just so many things that we want to build, and there just aren't enough hands, and there just isn't that much time. So we have to sort of.
Yeah. That's why it's
choose
cool.
What we're going to.
Yeah. I mean,
on.
If somebody want, like Samsky's yesterday, I think was like, or maybe it was the day before, was like, we have like, should do trending playlists. And then he just made it. So now
and then he just made
so he
it.
Just did
yeah.
it. So, you know, that's the cool.
That's thing. Helpful. That is like, I love seeing that, because it's like, yeah, we don't have time to do that specific thing. We have like this, you know, like the top up thing we want to build and other stuff going on. And so when I see other developers like him building things like that, that are just neat, I love it. I love seeing it.
Oh, guys, here it is.
The guitar.
Here's the guitar.
I see your little camera.
See this in real time.
Lighting up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby. All right. Give me
it's
a minute.
Here.
Be right back. All right, the eagle has landed.
We're not going to do an unboxing.
Are we going to do an
podcast? I'm kidding. It could be like an ASMR unboxing podcast. So you just, yeah, exactly.
All right, thank you.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Let's go to another letter.
All right.
Here's just some nice ones from The Wild Hustle. We've got Keep Up the Great Work. Joe Martin writes, listening to this on a late night drive back home from a gig in Sunderland, and it's keeping me going. Thank you. Do you know where Sunderland is?
I don't.
Me neither.
Sounds beautiful.
Pretty. Yeah. Tone Wrecker writes, always great to catch a new episode and get the inside scoop on what's happening next. Boosting here as a brainstorm reminder to follow up with you guys about creating a back catalog bounty to encourage new listeners to explore an artist's existing catalog of music.
I like that idea too.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what that means exactly. So you got like a back catalog.
Yeah. I mean, that could that be like a listen to earn thing too, you know, to incentivize people to go back and discover older music.
Other stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be kind of fun. Like a little scavenger hunt for sats.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the scavenger hunt idea is interesting.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, like there's treasure buried deep within Wave Lake. Go find it.
Like you could say, here's the lyric, find the song with the lyric, and then you get the sats.
Yeah,
like listen to the song with the lyric.
Or yeah, if you just happen to be listening, I mean, you could just turn on the radio and you might just, it could be like mining. You just happen to be listening to the right track and you get the payday.
Yeah. Okay. And then last one, I think, from Heather Larson. This is why I adore you, Sam. Thanks for the lulls.
Oh yeah. Cause I was making fun of myself for mispronouncing
things. Billy V.
Typical me.
Believe, right?
Yes. Yeah. Not Billy V. Not Billy 4.
Or Billy 5.
Or Billy 5.
Depending on how you spell Billy.
Yeah.
Okay, should we play a song?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to pick one out. Did you?
I've got one.
You got one? All right, what are we going to play?
Yeah. I actually did it while you were getting your
pick.
Oh, package.
Good thinking. I'll also pick one out.
I like this one a lot. It's pretty different from what we usually play, but I love this kind of stuff. This is by Screwface versus Shank Marvin.
Nice.
And I'm not going to say the title fully, but it's called F You. Yes, it's deaded, like your sperm on my bed, and I guess we're done. It's deaded, like your sperm on my bed, and I guess we're done. Guess it's deaded. Like your sperm on my bed, and I guess we're done. I guess it's deaded. Like your sperm on my bed, and I guess we're done. You used to say there's something between us, but that's motherfucker. I'm taking you to the cleaners, taking a house, the dogs, the TV, and a Beamer, the stash, the safe, the weed, and a cleaver. All right, that was Screwface versus Shank Marvin. I don't know much about these artists, but here's the in the bio. It says Screwface is the Lorena Bobbitt of rap. I'm not sure what that exactly means, but it sounds pretty badass.
Lorena Bobbitt. Do you know who Lorena Bobbitt is?
I do vaguely.
Lorena.
It's like
Bobbitt,
a 90s.
I believe was
character.
Famous for cutting off her boyfriend's wiener.
Yes.
So
that's the medical description, I believe, that you just laid out. Remember, you can boost Zap songs during this podcast. That's one of the neat things about this. So if you dig it, run it back and send a Zap, or just go to the track on Wavelake or wherever. And zap it from there.
Cool. Now what?
Yeah.
We're really just winging it. We're winging it this week. Let's be honest. we don't have any new features. To talk
as
about.
If
we sort of like
as
overshot.
You say that as if we don't wing it every single time.
Usually we spend about 3 or 4 weeks prepping for each episode. But
yeah. Usually we have a whiteboard just covered in marker.
It's like that meme from Always Sunny. There, you know, the guy with the things that's
tying things together.
What are those called?
Yeah,
I always reference those things. I never know what those are called.
It's like a pin board, right?
Is that what it is? Just a pin board?
Or like you mean like a madman's
diagram? Like a, you know, like an FBI agent who's connecting dots through yarn and pins, whatever that is.
Yeah, it's the clue strand.
Clue strand.
I don't know.
That sounds cool.
Do you like procedurals, like detective shows and stuff like that?
Yeah. No, I mean, not like
passionate.
Not passionately. Passionate. No. I mean, you know.
Quite the response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get into anything, really. You know?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of them. I've tried to watch them and I just get bored.
There's some of them. I mean, one of my favorite shows on Earth is Twin Peaks, so I guess that counts.
That's
a bit different.
It's been a while since I've seen Twin Peaks, but I don't remember it being very procedure-y.
No, not really.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about this Stacker News thing.
Oh yeah.
Friends of the show.
Yeah.
You know, we love Keon and company. But this was an interesting item that was posted in the last few days that just kind of stood out to me. It felt relevant to what we're doing. But it says, in the last 2 years, Stacker count has stayed stagnant, but sats stacked doubled. I'm less interested in the number of sats that people are stacking, doubling. I'm more interested in that, according to this, it says Stacker News still has about 1,100 active stacking users, just as it did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Which means that the number of users has been flat, relatively.
The number of users has been flat, but the volume has gone up. And they also point out that the price of Bitcoin has quadrupled as well. So it's like the volume has gone up and the value of that volume has also quadrupled.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about this, not super surprised about the usership not going up because, as we all know, we're in a bit of a bubble.
Yeah.
We're in a bit of a...
Well, I was just surprised because I think of Stacker News, and I use Stacker News pretty regularly.
Yeah.
But I think of Stacker News as, kind of like one of the pioneers in the space in terms of like how to integrate Lightning into just like an everyday application or a website.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think of Kiana as like a leader in, in terms of like product and development and this kind of thing. And so I guess that was what was surprising to me that, something that I just imagine has just, at least in my head, I assumed it had been just continuing to grow and grow and grow, has been relatively flat in terms of like the number of users, which I guess like you're saying in some ways it's not surprising. In other ways it kind of is, just based on like the visibility of that particular website. But I think I think the stat speaks to,
I think it just,
I don't know, the point we're at right now.
Yeah. I mean, it just comes back around to what we were saying before. I mean, we need to do a better job at showing how cool this utility is. You know, it's just hard. It's hard to, I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm really, truly not surprised that it hasn't grown substantially. You know, I would expect there to be some growth. Obviously, it just organic growth. The space, the bubble is, we are in a bubble, but the bubble is getting bigger, you know, kind of slowly. But
according to that, it's not. I mean, that's what I think is interesting is like, I think from within the bubble, it's easy to perceive that the bubble is growing, but if we just base, if we just go off of this statistic, the bubble isn't growing.
Well, look,
it's actually flat.
It could be, and the bubble could be growing because you have people trail off and new people come in, like you cycle through people. So,
right, but that's not growth. If people are leaving,
it's growth
and
in
not
the space.
Back,
it wouldn't be growth in the. That's not it growth. Wouldn't be growth for the business, but it would be growth for the space, technically.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my main point is like, I think the bubble is sort of. I think we've sort of reached peak number of, I guess, like these Lightning application users. Within this current phase.
But then you also have things like, I mean, you have to take other. There's variables. I always like to point out the variables, and you know, it's like you have. Noster came into existence in a very major way since this, since these numbers have been tracked in the last 2 years. Kind of could correlate with that. There was a time when, the bubble could have grown and maybe there's just more options now. So not everybody's going to one central place to get their Bitcoin news. Like maybe they were just going to Bitcoin Twitter and Stacker News and, trying to think about it like y'alls back in the, I don't know. I'm just trying to think.
I remember y'all.
Yeah. Like there are just other things, but now there's this, the information has been distributed more widely. It's not as centralized. So it could,
but I'd say the same problem exists for Noster where it seems like growth is sort of plateaued.
I haven't looked in a while. A similar numbers, problem. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it had an extreme, had an explosion and then, kind of took a nosedive. And then now I think it's, slowly growing, but it's probably losing users and gaining while it's gaining new users too,
Right.
But yeah, the point,
I mean, that's churn. That's like, that's not growth. Right. Yeah.
Right.
But again, like, I think this is all just to reiterate the point that we're always trying to make, which is just like, the only way this grows is if we make it accessible to more people.
Yeah, it's like, why would,
and that can happen in any number of different
right.
ways.
So it's,
you
like, why would
many different ways.
Yeah, like, why would people go to Stacker News now instead of something else? And it's, they would go for the utility. Right. They would go for, I think it was, what, last year they introduced the I forget what they call them.
Territories.
Yeah, the territories. They introduced the territories to try to, get more discussion, like more random discussion happening, not just about
more varied discussion.
Yeah, not just yeah. about Bitcoin and more stuff. Variety. So I'm sure that helped yeah. a bit. But yeah, I mean, this is the issue. This is the issue everybody has. We have to I don't know. What do we have to do?
Here's a question. I'm gonna put you on in the hot seat.
Uh oh. We need a theme. We need a bumper music for hot seat too.
We need like the sound of something catching on fire.
I'm gonna add an explosion sound here.
So let's say Lightning, these Lightning applications like that we're making, that, you know, like Noster, Stacker News, you know, Geyser, all these different things, the way that people are using Lightning today. Do you think that using the growth of these kinds of uses of Bitcoin over Lightning, how dependent is the value of Bitcoin in the future on these uses of Lightning actually growing?
What? how dependent is the value of Bitcoin on things on the user?
Yeah, like can Bitcoin actually become,
like, do the users
like
have
as valuable as people are predicting without it being used as money? Like in the everyday transaction sense.
Is it, you're saying, can it become more valuable as a utility than as a money?
Right, basically.
I think that, I mean, yes, I think so. I think that's why we're doing this. Do I think that's possible? Yes. Is it happening currently? Yeah. No. It's definitely, yeah. certainly not happening currently. Currently, what's happening is the price action is still king. You're still, you know,
it's speculative.
We're seeing monstrous financial companies come in to play with Bitcoin now. You know, the ETFs are buying yeah. massive amounts of Bitcoin daily. It's, people are arguing that the price is somehow being suppressed by these people in order to accumulate more because they're a little late to the game. It's about the price. I mean, people, it's, you know, I'm somewhat disgusted by it, but like seeing people getting excited about, you know, politicians getting involved, it's like, it seems that most of the excitement around that is about their bags getting pumped. You know, it's like, this is going to drive the price up. And, yeah, I mean, I think as long as people are looking at Bitcoin with that mindset, which is still very much a fiat mindset. Like if you're really just putting a USD price or your currency's price against the value of Bitcoin, then you're going to be in for a shock someday, you know, I guess that, if everybody focuses on that, it's just going to become another sort of, I don't know, you know, I guess that's the fear, is like, will the utility get overlooked? Will it get buried by the asset class, the value of the monetary value?
Right. Yeah, that's basically what I'm sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I think it will. It's just we have to keep promoting. That's why I think we have to show. You know, it's.
Like, I don't think it reaches its full potential unless it is used as a medium of exchange.
Yeah, it just would be unfortunate to not be able to it would be a mistake, you know. And it's very possible, because I guess you could argue sort of like that's what happened to the internet to some extent. The internet had a lot of potential to go one way and ended up going another, you know, getting sort of commandeered by big corporations and everything getting put into these very various boxes, similar to how streaming, you know, all of it, you know, it's like it all just became like sort of standardized to what the corporations wanted it to be. You know, like you have someone comes in and sort of disrupts it, but then it just becomes normal and just becomes kind of standardized, like payment gateways on the internet. Before they figured out how to be payment gateways on the internet, it was very confusing and stupid. And then Stripe or somebody came in first and they're like, we're going to make this easy. And then everyone else is like, oh, okay, we'll do that too. And it just sort of standardized the whole thing. And it sort of killed development because it just, everyone sort of like handshake agreed, we're going to do 3% and a 30-cent transaction fee. And this is how we're going to scale on the internet. But then you have, then Bitcoin comes along as like a utility for transacting on the internet and shows that even that is, that's dumb and it could be even easier and cheaper and with much less restrictions. And, you know, that's where things go wrong. If people just sort of take the easy way out, then you're going to get stuck with some shit. That's just, you're going to get stuck with the same old shit. But
yeah,
if people aggressively build and to highlight how things could be better, then, you know, maybe it'll work. I don't know. It's been working for, I remain hopeful. It's been working for Bitcoin in general. You know, it's like 10 years ago, Bitcoin was a very different thing than it is today. You know,
that's for sure.
So it's not, I think it's time for the utility to start shining. You know, it's like, it's how much further can you get with it as, you know, like a,
right. Well, it's something like,
as an investment, it's like, okay, BlackRock's buying it. Okay. Congratulations. Your bags are going to get pumped. Now let's start phase two of this thing.
Well, I know I go back to the email analogy all the time, but it would be like within the first 10 years of email, like telling people someday this is going to work really well for communicating with people, but never really using it to communicate with people.
Right.
Like it's been over a decade. It's been almost 14 years since Bitcoin was created, and we're still in this phase of promising what it could do in the future. And I think,
there
just needs to be more ways to show it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could make this argument with everything. You'll be able to make it with AI too. You know, it's like this promise that we're all going to be living in this renaissance of, you know, with robots doing all the work for us and we can just eat grapes and make art. And just, you know, live in a perfect utopia. Obviously, that's not going to happen because everybody still wants to make money. It really just comes down to the money aspect of it. Sort of the. I watched The Big Short last night. Did you watch? Have you ever seen that?
I've read it. I've never seen it.
Yes, I had never seen it, but I love stuff like that. Obviously,
yeah.
Kind of like found myself rooting for the people who are shorting the banks because, you know, it's kind of fun.
Oh yeah, they're the under, they're the,
yeah, it's kind of fun underdogs to just watch that happen. And but then also just so depressing to see how the cycle just flipped, you know. It's
repeats.
Like, yeah, it's like they got bailed out, everything. I mean, we all know the story. But I was as I was watching that at the very end of it, I was like, well, it's really cool to know what was born out of this, though. You know, it's like the ending of this movie is actually not painting the entire picture, because there is a whole sort of, now I'm getting culty, but, you know, sort of like a whole movement that sort of came out of this. And, you know, it's happening on the sidelines, and it would just be unfortunate to let that go to waste, you know, let it just.
Here's a random connection. That's an Adam McKay movie, isn't it? The Big Short? Or is it not?
I don't think so.
The director? Oh, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Have you seen the Adam McKay movie, or it's Will Ferrell and, the other guys? It's Will Ferrell and the one of the brothers.
It is. It is an Adam McKay movie. Yeah.
Big Short.
Don't ever trust me. Yes.
Okay. I was right.
You're right.
So yeah, have you seen the other guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg? They play these like detectives.
No.
And it's hilarious. I don't know. It reminds me of it though, because the end, like the thing with the other guys is they're trying to, I forget exactly the detail, but they're trying to like uncover this big financial corporate scam.
Okay.
And they get caught up in it, right? But the end of the movie, like the whole, like this whole, there's this whole credit sequence at the end of the movie that like sort of lays out all of these, all these ways that like the banks are crooks because it came out of like the financial crisis. So it's like inspired by what happened in the 08-09 financial crisis. And then like sort of out of nowhere at the end of this like total like farce buddy cop movie, there's a bunch of like facts laid out about.
That's interesting. I wonder if that was the sort of
international finance,
the seed for Making the Big Short. Cause that,
yeah,
looks like that came out in 2010 and then The Big Short came out in 2015. So yeah, must've been fresh on his mind.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll have to go watch that.
That's just a funny, that's definitely not as,
I've seen Step Brothers. Big Short.
I love that.
That's also
movie.
An Adam McKay movie. It's a great one.
Should we play another song? Should we just end it with another song?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's end it with another song. I just was looking through the list and saw that there's a new, Lumba song. So I'm going to play that.
Sweet.
It's called C'est la vie. It's an original.
We're going to end here, right?
Yeah. Let's end here. So we'll see you later.
Should we say bye to everyone?
Okay. Yeah. Roll credits. Let's say bye to everyone. Goodbye.
That led them here. Bleed, but don't you die, you're only 15. Swing and keep your aim very high. Kiss and touch, but don't cross the line. If she turns you down, who are you? Just turn around and bury the angry baby in the ground. But you drip yourself as you run from a gallows, and you bruise your heart and suppress the lover's quarrel. Just another broken soul in a cliché narrative. Yet you get yourself thinking you could outrun the shadows. Take a leap of faith, it's only science. Past mistakes I don't define as now. Swing till I list every sin and call you by my father's secret name. Swig and swish, the bolter doesn't understand, and the rest of the world, well, they can judge us now. 14 years by the goddess, do they know me now? But you drip yourself as you run from a gallows, and you bruise your heart and suppress the lover's quarrels. Just another broken soul in a cliché. You kid yourself thinking you could outrun the shadows. It's too late now, it's how we're programmed. And I'd give you all my heart, but it's almost numb. I know you're alone, you are cold, even when we're close. did you think when I said we'll always be happy? But you drip yourself as you run from the gallows, and you bruise your heart and suppress the lovers' quarrels. Just another broken soul in a cliché narrative. Yet you kid yourself thinking you could outrun the shadows. Salaville, what did you think when I said we won't always be happy?
You've been listening to Waveform, brought to you by WaveLake. WaveLake is a platform for artists to share their music beyond paywalls, and where fans can pay whatever they want using Bitcoin. Artists retain all the rights to their work and receive payments instantly via the Lightning Network. Find out more at wavelake.com. Waveform is produced by Sam Means and Michael Ree. Theme by Paul Birkin. I'm D++. Thanks for listening.